This morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little ways from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deeper water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, we will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partner in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's really not an exaggeration to say that I like fishing. So I just want to prepare everybody here at the beginning. I'm going to talk about fishing. Because I love talking about fishing, and every so often it comes across in our scriptures, Jesus' disciples being fishermen, that sort of thing. Plus, we have this beautiful image of Jesus calling his disciples to be fishers of men, to be catching people, fish for people. And so I'm just going to take the opportunity and talk about one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, which is fishing. Did take Madeline out yesterday to go fishing. And I was down at the West Hickman Creek there at Veterans Park. I had seen that the state had stocked trout in there last week, and so we were going to catch some. I pulled up my phone, I saw the schedule, and I said, "Madeline, you want to go catch dinner?" She said, "Yes, absolutely." So we put on our boots, and we went down there, and the creek was this high. I said, "Oh, Madeline, I don't know. We'll have to be careful." And so we're getting to our spots, and we're throwing our little rooster tails, and we're trying to fish, and she keeps getting everything tangled up. Getting it tangled up in her rod, and the line twisted in the reel, and the lures going in every different spot of the trees. I really did tell her all of my favorite fishing catchphrases. She threw one in a tree. I said, "Madeline, if they were up there, we could pick them." That was a favorite. At one point, I feel Madeline getting frustrated. I was like, "It's okay. We're here to have fun." She looked at me. She says, "You're going to spend your whole time out here untangling my stuff." She said that. Can you believe that? Madeline's a wonderful person. I'm trying not to mess her up. I said, "Madeline, it's okay. Grandpa did the same thing for me when I was your age, and here I am. It's my turn. You have a good time." So we went down a couple different spots, and we did not catch a single thing. It's disappointing. When we travel down to Florida to see our families, we always spend time fishing. This is recorded. I just realized we don't always buy fishing licenses. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. It's at the private lake. But we spend time fishing for different things, catfish and what you all call crappie and that sort of thing. We love doing these things together to fish with one another. Jesus has called his first disciples who were fishermen. The wonderful movie, A River Runs Through It, I think it begins, or it's very close to the beginning, the Presbyterian father of the main character says something along the lines of, Jesus' most important disciples were fishermen, and his favorites, James and John, the son of Zebedee, were dry fly fishermen. It's a great book and movie. Fishing runs so deeply in our faith. We hear stories from the first believers and the first apostles and disciples who were persecuted, that to find one another, one, when you would encounter someone on the road and would wonder whether or not they were a believer, you'd draw a big arc in the dirt with your foot. Big arc. And if the person also was a believer, they'd draw the inverse of the arc. And there'd be a little fish there in front of you. And that would be your signal to one another that you were both believers and could speak openly of your faith in Jesus. Fishing runs deeply in our faith, and for many good reasons. But I was also always confused by this call of these disciples to be fishers of men, to be fishers of people that Jesus tells them that they will be catching people. Again, I love fishing. Part of that is what fishing is, and it's tricking this critter. When you're fishing, you are trying to make this fish believe that it's about to eat a meal. Only you've put a sharp piece of metal in that meal, and you catch him. That is the type of fishing that we would do, those dry fly fishermen, and I do enjoy fly fishing. We spend multiple hours during the wintertime when we cannot get out to fish, tying flies, taking hooks and wrapping fur and feathers around them in a way that will make it look like a bug. So you can toss this lure out and the fish will see this bug and try to eat it, but it's not a bug, it is your hook. Every fancy lure is one way or another designed to look like another fish that a bigger fish wants to eat. Fishing is tricking, trying to make this animal think it's about to eat only to pull it from the water. So imagining Jesus telling me I'm going to be tricking people, fishing for people, tricking them. Always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. What is it that Jesus is asking us to do? Are we really to trick people? I thought, well, this is how I fish today. This is probably not how the disciples would have been fishing. They would have gone out with nets. Perhaps it was a cast net like I have. I usually end up throwing pancakes. I try to anyways, and every now and then there's some bananas in there. Throwing nets to try to catch fish, or thinking of seine nets or draw nets, taking these nets and wrapping them around the school of fish and bringing them in so that the fish are near to you. Well, that's a little bit better. We're not exactly tricking the fish. We're just going out and gathering around them and bringing them in. Have you seen Finding Nemo? There's a scene in there where they're catching fish with a net of this kind. Also, a bit troublesome to think of Jesus asking us to go casting these nets, pulling these fish in when they don't want to be in. When we fish for people, are we tricking them? Are we pulling them against their will? Or is there some other way that we can imagine thinking about fishing for people? So I think, well, maybe I'm just all muddled and confused, and I'm seeing the looks on your faces too, and there's a lot of, your mouths are going downwards and not upwards. So maybe we're all muddled and confused this morning. So let's step aside for a second. Let's look at this story. Yes, it is a call story for these first disciples, Peter, Simon, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. But it's also a miracle story. This is a story of Jesus doing something absolutely incredible. These are professional fishermen. This is how they make their living. They go out each and every day and they catch fish to sell. And they're apparently doing well. These are good fishermen. They have worked well enough to have their own boats, to have partners, to have people that work for them. These are successful fishermen. And so when they say, we've worked all evening, all night long, and have caught nothing, that's meaningful. These guys know what they're doing, and even them have spent all night long and have caught nothing. But Jesus speaks with them. He uses their boat. He preaches a sermon to the crowd that's there. And then he looks at them and says, how about y'all go try one more time? Again, I understand the need for fishermen to cast one more time. So they say, okay, we've tried all night, but if you think that we should go and do it, we'll do it because you are obviously someone who is important. The first words that Simon speaks to Jesus, he says, Master. Simon recognizes Jesus as an important person. He says, okay, we will go and try this thing one more time. And they let their nets out and they catch many, many fish. So many fish that their nets begin to break. So many fish that they have to call in the other boat, that both boats are filled with fish to the point that they're starting to sink. This is incredible. This is a lot of fish. I kind of talked with the Sunday school trying to help us find a new way to imagine this, since many of us do not fish like this. What would be a miracle in your own daily work that you do that would be equal to this? I know many of us are some professional farmers, but even us who are there in the garden, imagine going to that field or to that plot, the garden, one day and everything is tripled. I planted 4 rows of corn and now there are 12. And they're fully grown and each has 4 or 5 ears of corn, big, full ears of corn. This is a huge miracle. Imagine being one of those teachers and you give out a test. And the next day, as you're passing out the test, every single student, even that one student, has 110% on the test. And there was no extra credit. That's pretty amazing. Imagine whatever it is that you do for work, something so incredible that these fishermen have experienced. This is amazing. It's awesome. And so Peter falls down at his feet and says, Master, Lord, Jesus, I am not worthy for you to be around. Leave me, please. I will sully whatever beautiful thing that you have going on. I'm not worthy of you. You are someone who can do this incredible, amazing thing. Jesus simply looks at him and says, stop it. Don't be afraid. I'm going to make you fish for people. So again, we'll put aside all of my muddled garbage thoughts about fishing and turning that into a metaphor for what we do for people. Let's stick with recognizing that this is Peter's job to fish. See if that helps a little bit. I'm still seeing the looks on your face. Peter fishes. Jesus comes along and makes Peter catch lots of fish. And then asks Peter to do the same, but with people. Jesus takes our everyday normal work, our everyday normal experiences, our everyday normal hobbies, the way that we interact with people, and turns them into miraculous catches. I think that's working a little bit better. It is in my mind. Are we catching up? Forget the actual hooks and nets. I love fishing so much I get stuck on it. I'm sorry. Jesus takes those normal things that we do each and every day. And if we, like Simon Peter, follow Jesus and allow Jesus to enter our lives and be a part of those everyday things, miracles happen. Peter just happened to be a fisherman. Maybe you happen to be a teacher. What would bringing Jesus into your life and the way that you interact with not only your students, but your co-teachers and the faculty and the administrations, allowing Jesus to come into your work each and every day? What miraculous catch, what miracle might happen? Perhaps you are a nurse. What would it look like to imagine Jesus being in your life with each and every encounter with another human. I've seen it happen this week when an amazing nurse cares for someone that in their care. I've seen the amazing things that a single nurse can do for a family this very week. What would it look like in the grocery store, on the roads, with our neighbors, if we took those each and every day normal things and allowed Jesus to have a hand in them? This passage says miracles happen. Now, the next part of this story is Simon's actual reaction to it. Simon saw the miracle that happens when Jesus is in his everyday life. He was afraid. Seeing this world-changing power in the ordinary things that we do can be scary. Simon does not run away from it. Simon embraces it. He gets up from his hands and feet, and he leaves everything to follow Jesus. Each of us have seen miracles in our own way. We've seen what happens when God and Christ are in our lives. We can be like Simon and turn and follow Jesus. Or we can turn back. This is the call that each and every one of us have this morning. To embrace the miracles. To allow Christ into our normal everyday lives. The normal interactions that we have with our neighbors and strangers. People on the internet. Those are the hardest to get along with, aren't they? To allow Jesus to have a hand in our interactions and our lives. To allow those miracles to take place. And then to turn and continue following Jesus each and every day. Amen.